people here. You guys can hear me just fine, can't you? But everybody out there, yeah. Roy? When I was mentioning the people, and he reminded me of Harmon, God has, I'll just kind of give you a little history of how tonight happens. Back in 1996, God had me as pastor of this church. And there was a lot of things going on at the time, but God just really, as soon as I stepped in that pastor's office, God just really got a hold of me and just began to deal with Mike Hoggard. And he's so good to me. When you look back on your childhood, you thank your mom and dad for taking a rod to you. Okay, you're just thankful for that because God was using, they were just trying to keep you out of hell is what they were doing. That's what the Bible says. And so God began to do that in my life, and he began to work in me. I actually, for those of you who don't, I grew up here in this church. I used to crawl around under here, okay? Still know how to get in there. I can't get in there anymore, but I know how to do it, okay? And if some of you walked around, if you went through the basement down there, I go all the way back before the stuff downstairs was even there. It was just a bare basement. And so I've been here for a long time. I know all of these little decorations up on the ceiling here on this cedar planks. I know all the knots and the holes. And somewhere up here, there's a limousine up here. You just have to look for it, but it's there. And so just grew up in this church, sitting where you're sitting tonight, watching preachers preach. And even as a boy, I wanted to do that. And when I was 9 years old, I got saved, was baptized here. When I was 16, I knelt right here and surrendered to God's call to preach. And I'll just never forget it. If Sunday night, I'll just never forget it as long as I live. Went off to Bible college. They took my head and went like that. And I didn't believe some things anymore. During that time, I was seeing a young lady out in Oklahoma, and that didn't work out. And Lisa, sweetie pie, she was going to church here. Her mom and dad started coming here when she was a teenager, so we've known each other for years. And she was seeing a guy, and that didn't work out. And my sister said, "Hey, you remember Lisa Leonard?" I went, "Yeah." "Well, she wants to go out with you." And I went, "Gulp." And so we started seeing each other in December of 1986, and got married here, right here, in July of 1987. And let's see, a year and a few months after that, she was sitting back over here, and she went into labor with Lindsay, our first daughter. Yeah, and during a Wednesday night service, and so we left church after the service. And drove, and she had Lindsay the next day. So, I mean, this place is my life. It's my home. I don't want to be anywhere else other than, and I'm just thankful that God allowed it to be that way because I begged him one day. I begged God, "Don't ever take me away from here. Please don't do that." Now, I'm always willing to do what God says, but it's okay to tell God what's in your heart. Amen. It's okay to tell him that because he cares about you and he loves you. And so in 1997, God just kind of laid a burden on my heart. He said, "We're going to study Bible prophecy." And I thought, all right, I'm going to go get Grant Jeffrey's books and Hal Lindsey's books. And then Tim LaHaye came out with that Left Behind nonsense. And God said, "No, I wrote a book on prophecy." And I surrendered to it, because when the Holy Ghost really talks to you, you just surrender to it. Amen. You just, okay, that's it. When God says, "Let there be light," there's light. Okay? And so that's what I just started reading the scriptures. And at that time, because of my Bible college training, I didn't care what Bible it was going to be from. I thought, I'm going to study the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm going to try to be smart and come up. And God said, "No, don't do that. I'm going to show you something." And then one day, the Holy Ghost just came in and just, I surrendered to this Bible without any evidence. Now, I've been trained both ways. I've been educated on both sides of the Bible issue. And I know a little bit about what I'm talking about when it comes to manuscript evidence and textual criticism and all the history of all of that stuff. But that didn't matter when the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. And so I accepted that, and then God began to supply the evidence. Okay, and that was really how this ministry got started. And so 1997, I'm going to study what this Bible says about prophecy. And then over time, God has just filled my heart and my mind with things. I have a thirst for knowledge. I want to know weird stuff. I want to know where UFOs came from and who's Bigfoot and what the Loch Ness Monster is. And I mean, I just, all that stuff I've just had an interest in. And I can remember when God first called me to study prophecy, I wanted to do a teaching on UFOs. And God never let me do that until, what was it, this year I came out with that? Until this year. And, you know, finally I get to do it. But now that, you know, it's because I can see it clearly from the Scriptures. I know what's going on a little bit. And so on. God sent us, I got a phone call one day from a lady named Jazz. And she called me. She lives down in Ozark, Missouri. And she said, "You don't know me, but somebody gave me one of your," back then we were using videotapes. "Somebody gave me one of your videotapes." And she said, I want to help a ministry, and it's a toss-up between you and Creflo Dollar and Joyce Myers. And well, she didn't quite say it like that. But anyway, I said, well, you know, and we talked for a little bit, and I just wasn't sure about it. But I thought, well, you know, and what I was going to do, I was going to try to teach myself how to build websites. And God had already had it worked out that I didn't have to do that. And so here she just jumped right in. She got us some websites going. And she is sort of the brilliance behind what you see on the internet. She has done a tremendous job. Right now, if you go Google certain things or do a search engine search of certain things, our name's going to come up somehow, some way. And God has used her in that way. And one of the things that really blessed my heart was she said, I'm going to do this for you for free. And so God had already set this channel in motion where we were going to be able to not have to charge anybody for anything because we weren't paying anything. And so when the idea of the Watchman Video Broadcast first came to me, when God gave that to me back in January of 2009, I thought, you know what, that'll work. And I'm going to put it out there, and then I'm not going to charge anybody for anything, and I'm not going to be beholden to them if they pay us money or they're giving us money or whatever. That, well, you know, since we got to pay all this stuff out, we need your money. You need to help us out with this, because some people will give money to ministries so they can say, this is what I want you to say. That is what's going on in the world today, and we're going to talk about prophets and prophecy and things like that. And I can tell you that you need to understand that a lot of what's going on in the so-called prophecy business is just that, it's business. It's designed to sell videos and books. And it's designed to make money and to make profits. That's what they're doing. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, and I'll probably get into that tonight. But one of the things that God has blessed us with is the freedom to do what we're doing without depending on someone paying for it. And so God sent us Jazz. And then we mentioned Harmon a while ago. He takes care of our church website. And this is an old gentleman. I just love him to death. I got a chance to meet him here a while back. He lives down in Atlanta, Georgia. And he and I, we just fellowship so good. He's just so sweet. And he takes it. As soon as we're done tonight, we're going to upload the video that we're recording tonight, and he's going to get it, and he's going to start working on it right then. And he's going to get it up on the website. He's going to have it on sermon audio. We're going to have it on the internet, just like that, so that the people in Australia right now are not up. They're in bed, lazy bums, okay? And so Tomorrow morning, they'll know that I called him a lazy bum. Okay, it'll be up on the website. And he does all this. He's not asked for anything. He's never charged us anything. And we thank God for that. We thank God for people like that. Ariel's sitting here. Okay? And God sent her to us, and she helps me. When I do a Watchman broadcast, she'll get it, and she sits down and types out every word that I say. And it's a transcript service that Google uses. And from what I found out, that can be used to translate into a different language what it is that we're saying here. Okay? And God has just sent us these people, and there's others. I don't want to leave anybody out, but God has just sent us these people that have just volunteered to help us out. God sent us Gary and Kay from Rochester, New York. And we had a time where we were feeling out what the Lord wanted to do, but God sent them down here. And, he just does a lot of the duplications and things like that. I got two daughters that work for me. And it's just a blessing to have that. And God has blessed us. We're sending out, how many packets did we send out the other day? Just shy of 800 Watchman packets that we sent out. And we don't ask anybody for their money. And there are some people who are getting these that are on fixed income. They're seniors. They get just enough money, Social Security, whatever, to get by. And they couldn't afford it. And we get people that, and I still do this every now and then. When we get a check in the mail for $5, I just cry and I say, God, thank you for that. Bless that. And he does. And we just thank God for it. And so anyway, this is God's work. It's God's ministry. And I'm going to let him do it. And then God sent me two bums named Brady and Bradley. Yeah, crumb bums. And God sent them two women that felt sorry for them and married them. Because they were not good being alone, I guarantee you. Okay? They were not good being alone. And but anyway, it's just a blessing. And God sent you here this weekend, and we take that seriously. We want to take good care of you. We want you to feel at home, and we want you to go back to wherever you are with a big box of DVDs if you want, and give them rascals out. Amen. Just pass them all over the place, and just tell people what's going on. And I keep telling this story. I can't get over the guy that wrote me last week, and he said I just want to tell you thank you for what you're doing. And everything you're doing and how you're doing it. And he said, believe it or not, he said, the guy that came out to put horseshoes on my horses said, have you ever heard of Mike Hoggard? Well, no. You got to watch this guy. And he started watching it. He watched a bunch of videos already. And he said, I just want to tell you thank you for what you're doing. And that's how it's supposed to be done. These people are going into all the world. And with the help of this ministry, God has given me a mouth. Shut up. God has given me a mouth. I'm the kid in fifth grade had to sit by the teacher's desk all year long because I couldn't shut up. Okay? And my daughter, Alicia, she's that way. That's her. She's got that from me. Okay? And but anyway, God's given me a mouth. He's given me a gift to use. Not everybody has that. And so if I can take what I have and give it to you in that way, and then you take that and spread it out all over the place, then we're all doing what Jesus asked us to do. Amen? Which is more than just going to Chick-fil-A. Amen? And I don't mind going to Chick-fil-A. Okay? But he's called us to preach or teach or spread the gospel somehow, some way. And so that's what we're trying to do. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And while you're turning there, I just worked out, I got a letter. I don't know if this came in yesterday or today. And this is from the desk of Prophetess Deborah. Okay? From such and such, such and such prophetic ministries. And she sent me this letter, and this is to, this is attention. Ministers of the gospel, churches, believers, rabbis, synagogues, priests, and all who seek the Lord God Almighty. And she has a thing up here written that says the words in quotation were those spoken by the Lord God Almighty. Now, I'm looking at the words here that are in quotation, and I don't recognize King James Bible verses here. Let me give you an example of what she got here. She says, on the 6th day of October 2011, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and then she's got quote, concerning the falling away of many and the sin, the abomination that abound among the inhabitants of the earth as people and nations, as leaders of nations. Anyway, she got 4 pages here that she sent to me of words that God gave her, and she wrote them down exactly the way he said it, and God has called her as a prophetess to give the word of the Lord that she has that nobody else has. Okay? Nobody has been given this but her, and so she feels like everybody needs to know this. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten anything like this. I don't know if you've ever believed anything like this. I don't know if you know somebody who does this or ever sat under a ministry like this where somebody would come out and say, I have a new impartation from God, or I have a new word from God, or God told me this last night, and all this stuff. These prophecies, okay? But I've been acquainted with this since God called me into this ministry, because in 1997, when God gave that to me, I started listening to the radio and Prophecy Club and Southwest Radio Church and so on, and Club O' Prophecy sent a guy to the St. Louis area by the name of Dan Bowler. Now I think he's from up here around Kansas City somewhere. And he's got a prophecy for America, and they build him that every city he goes to now, he's going to prophesy over that city and tell you what's going to happen. And so I went up to the airport up here at the hotel they was at in the meeting room, and I took a notebook, and I think I still have it somewhere. And I sat there with a pen, Roy, and I wrote down just about everything this guy said. Especially when it came to, now this is thus saith the Lord, and he said blah, 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 and I wrote it all down. Now he made specific prophecies concerning the St. Louis area, okay? And I wrote them down that he said was going to happen. Now that was probably 1998 is when that happened. So 14 years ago, okay? And nothing that he said took place. I'm still waiting for the tanks to be driving through downtown St. Louis. Hasn't happened. Still waiting for the things that he said was going to happen. And it wasn't like this is going to happen the next, 100 to 200 years. That's not what it was more like this is, imminent here. And I wrote it all down. And God had just given me the sense enough that on the way home, I'm praying and I said, God, this man says he heard from you. Now, I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. He talks good. He says, seems like he's with you. But I don't know that you really told him that. I don't know how to know that you really told him that. Other than I know the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so, God, here's what I'm asking you. If what he said is true, you show it to me in this book. Because, and on the way home that night, I just decided right then that I was just going to trust this book. This was going to be the official testing device of everything that comes out of any man's mouth, including mine. And I just decided that I was going to trust. And so, God, if what he said was true, you show it to me in this book. But if not, then you show it to me in this book as well. Because I want to know. I want to know what's true. And so God just kind of put that. God let me go up there to hear that, to see that, be associated with it. And along that time, he said, I got a vision from the Lord. Well, I was hearing from some of these other guys. One guy named Dimitri Dudeman that Stan Johnson brought over from Romania, and he tells all these prophecies that were going to happen. Now, one of the problems that I have, and he seems like a nice enough guy, and if what he's saying is true, I mean, boy, he's really taken a beating for the Lord. The problem is, one of them specifically, he mentioned that he asked the angel when all this stuff was going to happen, and the angel told him that by the year 2000, it was all going to be over with. Well, this was, you know, the mid-90s. And so, 2000, I'm going, oh, man, you know. And I was going to, you know, God, give me, if you want me to have dreams and visions, then give them to me and all this and that. And I'm going to be dealing with that tonight. But, and of course, when 2000 rolled around and that stuff didn't happen, and now he's dead, and there was something else that really bothered me too about what he said. There was some visions or dreams that Duneman had that he couldn't release. God would not let him tell him. Now that was like a red flag going up in my mind. Okay? In other words, God told you something, but he told you not to tell anybody. That in itself is contradictory to the scriptures. Surely the Lord will do nothing. Now I'll have that verse up on the screen. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. And those prophets were obligated by God to tell what they were told. No prophet ever held anything in secret. And you say, well, what about John and the seven thunders? I have a little theory about that. Because John heard the seven thunders. He heard the voice of the seven thunders. And John was about to write what they said. And the angel told him not to write it. I do, however, believe that if God said it, it's written. You just won't find it in John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, or Revelation. But I believe that the voice of God is here printed in this book tonight. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to help you. God always has a better way than man's way, including in the church. Do you believe that? You have to believe that God actually cares about you and cares about how you turn out. He actually likes you and he loves you and he wants you to live a high way and have a lot of happiness and joy and peace and contentment in your life here because he knows he's been here. He knows how it is. And he wants you to have some joy in your life. And he's going to give you all the things that pertain to joy in your life. He wants you to live that life. I really believe that. I believe that you can have happiness here down on this earth. Amen. And so he's going to show you how that's done. And so we're going to deal with Prophetess Deborah tonight. Okay? Now, I can tell you that I have zero problem not reading the rest of this, shredding it, and putting it in the garbage can. I have no problem with this whatsoever. And I'll show you why, if you think that's cocky, I'll just show you why I'm that cocky. Okay? And I'm really not. But I'll just show you why I'm not going to pay much attention to this. Okay? Because I actually have something better than this. Okay? So let's look at the scriptures here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Think of Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Those are cunningly devised what? They never happened, did they? Lord of the Rings never happened. Harry Potter never happened. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There was not, what was it, three or four kids that open up a closet door and go into this land of Narnia with this guy who is half goat and half man. That never happened. It was a fable that C.S. Lewis wrote because in his mind, because Tolkien told him that it was this way, in his mind, he believes that you can best understand Jesus by telling myths and fables. And that's what he did. It's what Tolkien did. And now a lot of preachers and teachers and Bible scholars have jumped on this thing that Jesus can best be understood and best be known if we tell you a story about Gandalf the Grey or if we tell you about a lion named Aslan. See, he's a lion. And you're right. And everybody knows that Jesus is a lion, right? There's another lion. A roaring lion. So which one is Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia? Which one? And they said, well, you know, he died and rose again. Did you know that Osiris died? in his waiting resurrection? Did you know that Bacchus and Dionysus and Apollo and all of these other gods of mythology are all the dying god that's awaiting resurrection? So that one's not new either. Did you know the beast is dead? He's in the pit and he's waiting resurrection. So that one's not new either. How can you tell? Well, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And verse 18, it says, "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now, Peter's writing this, and Peter said, "I was there." In Matthew chapter 17, "I was there, and I saw his face, and I saw Moses and Elijah, and I heard the voice of God, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" He said, "I heard it, and I've told everybody that I've run into that I heard God say, 'This is my beloved Son.'" And he said, "I believe it. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that he pleases God, and I'm going to follow him until that. I'm going to follow him until they hang me upside down and kill me." And according to history, that's what they did with Peter. But Peter, being led by the Holy Spirit, is letting you know that you actually have something better than Peter's eyewitness account. And just Peter saying, "I heard God tell me that this was his Son." He said, "I got something better than that." So look what he said. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." It's this. Okay? So, and here's my point. Did anybody in this room hear God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? So how do we know? You just heard me read it, and now you've heard it. Amen? Because it's written in the script. It's written in the book. And that's what he's telling you. We have a more sure, more certain than what I'm telling you, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So what Peter's establishing, he's establishing the doctrine that the written scriptures are always going to be present and be around and be an absolute final authority witness of Jesus Christ until the day. Until the day. There's going to come a day, people, when we won't need to carry King James Bibles around. Amen. We won't need them. We'll have it right here. We will know even as we are known. But until that day comes, we have the sure word of prophecy right here. And then he says, verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." No. No prophecy is of any private interpretation. This did not come from God. Did not come from God. Okay? And we'll get into what that word interpretation means probably tomorrow. "Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not..." Here we go. This is how I know now. "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy people of God..." Holy what? Well, you're just a bigot. You hate women. I bet you beat Megan privately, right? Okay? Holy men. Did you ever notice that there's no women writers in the Bible? Not even the book of Ruth. Ruth didn't write Ruth, and Esther didn't write Esther. There are no female authors of the Bible. There were no female apostles chosen. Now, I will deal with "your sons and daughters shall prophesy." I will deal with that scripturally, and I'll show you what it means. In fact, it's actually better than this. It's actually, ladies, It's actually better than you trying to put off that you're some prophetess. Okay? And I've encountered people. In fact, when I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and a guy was telling me about how they operate in his church. He said, "Does your church have a house prophet?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, King James." Okay? He said, "Oh no." He said, "Our church, we got a house prophet." I said, "What you're telling me is that your pastor is not the final biblical authority in your church, that somebody else sitting on the sidelines is?" He said, "That's right." He said, "The house prophet receives words from God during the service, and when he stands up and speaks, everybody's got..." And I'm going, Now let me tell you what that is. That is an end run around God's divine way of authority inside of a church. There is going to be one man in a church that's going to have the spiritual authority in that church, and that's the pastor. As far as doctrine and things like that, now it's not my job to tell you how to wipe your nose, how to paint your head. It's not my job, okay? But as far as spiritual authority, there's going to be one head in a church, and that's the pastor. And this house prophet deal, and I don't mind talking about it. Stan has got him a house prophet, Tess. It's his wife. And whatever she says, that's how that goes. Whatever she says, that's how it rolls in that church. And that's unbiblical. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you either believe that or you don't. But don't not believe it and act like you do. Because then that makes you a wolf that looks like a sheep. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So I want you to understand this one. God did speak through the prophets in the Old Testament, but now hath he in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Notice the plural and then the singular. Prophets in the Old Testament and singular in the New Testament. Jesus is that prophet, capital P. Okay? That's what was it, the woman at the well? That's what she said. That's the prophet. The one that was spoken of that we were going to have. I think I found him. I think I know who he is. And she was right. And isn't it amazing to us, when you study the scriptures, you find the office of prophet, Jesus was the prophet. You find the office of apostle, Jesus was the head apostle. You find the bishop, Jesus was the bishop. You find a shepherd, Jesus was the shepherd. Amen? You find an angel, Jesus was the angel of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? You find a high priest, Jesus was the high priest overall. He held, holds, and still will hold all of those offices in the Bible, and everything from Genesis to Revelation, all of these little guys who were prophets and priests and judges and apostles and things like that, they all testify of the one, Jesus Christ, who is the chief apostle, the chief prophet, and everything. And so here's the issue. If one of the little guys says it's this way, but the big guy says, no, it's not, we're supposed to listen to the big guy. Amen? That's who we're supposed to listen to. So clearly, the Bible, the New Testament doctrine is teaching us that he has spoken unto us by his Son. And so if you're asking me, who did Lindsay say the other day? Peter Popoff. Here's Peter Popoff, who has been caught spreading lies. They caught him on tape. He would go around pretending that, oh, I'm getting word. So-and-so, so of such-and-such place in Dayton, Ohio, you're here. And that fellow would raise his hand. God's gonna cure you of that back disease. He's hearing from the Lord. And Peter Popoff ran over to him, wham, in the name of Jesus, and delivered him. They caught his wife in a room reading the prayer card that man filled out before the service into a microphone. He had a little earpiece hearing his wife. It was a scam, and they caught it. And that was back 20-some-odd years ago, and he went into hiding, and now he's back on, selling miracle spring water from some, I don't know, God-forsaken place somewhere that's going to heal you. It's a scam. So if Peter Popoff's standing here saying one thing, and I've got his son saying another thing, I'm going to listen to his son. I'm going to listen to his son. So we have today running around the Kansas City Prophets, Joel's Army people, Todd Bentley, Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar. We have, and those are the big guys. And we have scores of little guys all over the country, all over the world. They were in Kenya. We went there. I want to tell you something. There's false prophets out in Kenya just like there are here. There are money grubbers and thieves out there in Africa just like there are here. Okay? And I want to tell you, we got resisted spiritually when we went out there dealing with that stuff. Okay? But here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay? We got scores of pastors. We got scores of people running around. The internet is full. The internet is full of Latter-day's prophets like Mistress Deborah here. Prophetess Deborah. The internet is full of this stuff right here telling you. Hey, you remember Comet Elenin? You remember that, Bob? Comet Elenin was this comet flying around the sun, and it was going to start World War III. It was going to start the tribulation. It was going to start the end of the world. There was aliens piling in it. There was all kinds of stuff. And I was reading stuff on the internet. A guy would say, now, I'm hearing from prophets of the Lord who are telling me that this thing could be a serious event. It didn't happen. Nothing happened. They were wrong. Don't listen to them. Amen? Do not listen to them. You listen to this. So we are living in a time right now where everybody, they want an angle. They've got a prophecy. They've got this. They've gotten that and the other. 9 times out of 10, there's a price tag related to it. But other than that, they want the notoriety, or they want this, or they want that, or they want the other. And I like for people to be free. I got a book, I don't know if I still have it, that it was given to me years ago by a guy who was part of the Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola, Florida. With the Pensacola outpouring and all the weird, occult, devilish manifestations that were going on out there. And this guy wrote a book, and it was about the prophets who were prophesying over this church, basically saying, we're hearing from God, and if you go against us, you're going to lose your salvation and go to hell. That's what they were saying. They're saying the Bible says you have to listen to us, and whatever we tell you, that's what you have to do if you don't want to go to hell. That sounds like a Roman Catholic priest to me, is what it sounds like. And Maggie, you know all about that stuff. The priest will tell you, you don't read the Bible, you just listen to me, whatever I tell you to do, and if you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. And I want to make you free from this. I want you to understand that your salvation is not based upon a man, it's based upon the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18. God said, I will raise them up a prophet. Notice that's capital P. Your King James translators knew who that was. They knew who that was. They knew who God was talking about because they believed the Bible. They believed the whole of the Scripture. And they knew that when they were translating the Bible, they were not just translating one little section that was isolated from the rest of the book. They knew the rest of the book, and they knew who that prophet was. They knew it was Christ. So instead of just writing the word prophet, they made that capital there so that would designate that as a prophecy of Christ. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. They're God's words, they're in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken. And I will stop right here. English is such an amazing language. The word hearken is real simple to understand because it has the word hear in it. And isn't it amazing, if you just look at it, that the word hear has the word ear in it? See how simple that is? If whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And I'm telling you, God is still in this business. You're going to stand before God one of these days and answer a simple question. Do you believe the Bible? It's a simple question, isn't it? Did you, while you were on this earth, believe what my son said? Don't tell God, well, God, in the original manuscripts I did. I'm going to deal with that a little bit tomorrow too. Look at verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. Now, I'm going to stop right here. God is telling you that there are prophets, quote unquote, who will speak and they'll say, God said it. And God said, I didn't say that. Maggie, have you ever had anybody lie on you? Have you ever had anybody say, well, Maggie, so-and-so said that you said blankety blank. Yes. And you didn't say it, right?
No.
Okay. I would love to see, your eyes were playing out that movie if that happened. I would love to find out what that, okay. It hurts, doesn't it? Okay. Somebody said that you said something and you said, you know what? I didn't say that. I never, never said that. Okay? And that's God. God said there's going to be people who call themselves prophets. They're going to say, God told me this. I saw an angel. He identified himself as moron. And he showed me some tablets. And I translated them perfectly, and then they disappeared. Is that what happened to them? God told me this. And we're fixing to have a Mormon president. Just saying. Anyway. But if the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods... You know what gods are? Angels. Angels. And so, Wayne, didn't we hear some of these club old prophecy speakers say that, an angel came to me and told me this. One guy said that the angel Gabriel told him that Y2K was going to be the start of the Great Tribulation. And I got a book on it, and I'll sell it to you, $15.95. Hurry up and get it before he comes. It didn't happen. And that's what he means here. Gods, speak in the name of other gods. Even that prophet shall what? You think God's going to play around with these guys? He means business. He said, if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the Lord? How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? God did not leave it up to you or up to us to try to maybe, well, maybe, you know, he could be telling the truth. I don't know. God said, I'm going to show you how. He said, there's a real simple way you can know whether or not I said it. And it's very simple, and it's in the Scripture. So if you want to write this down, that's fine, but just kind of take a note here. Number one, test number one, infallibility. And isn't it interesting that the Vatican has established a doctrine that says when Il Papa sits and speaks ex cathedra, which means out of his chair of authority, out of his cathedral, that what he says is totally infallible, which means it is not in error, it is the absolute truth, and it is as if God himself has just said this. The Pope is referred to as the Vicar of Christ, which basically means since we don't have Jesus here on the earth, we have his earthly representative, the Pope. And whatever the Pope says, that's what we believe. That's papal infallibility. Even, and Roman Catholicism teaches that you probably should not believe everything you see in the Bible. However, everything that the Pope said, you have to believe or you'll go to hell. That's Roman Catholicism, isn't it? Okay? And have they ever been wrong? We believe that by praying the rosary, that gives you a special atonement with God by praying the rosary. See, the Pope said that. He's wrong. Okay, he's wrong. So, test number one, infallibility. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. What is the sign of the false prophets, the false teachers in the last days? Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And so you have both testaments witnessing of how to spot and identify false prophets. They're presumptuous. They have spoken presumptuously. They have said, God said this was going to happen, and it never happens. God said, you don't. He said, don't. He didn't say, you don't have to listen to what they said just then. But give them another chance. That is not what God said. He said, that the Lord hath not spoken, the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Period. All he has to do is be wrong one time. That's it. If he's right nine times, let's say a guy comes along and he gives nine prophecies and every one of them is right, and the whole world is just gone, oh, wow, he's from God. And he says something the tenth time and it doesn't happen. Now, the world still might say, you know what, 9 out of 10 is not bad. God's people say, you know what, that is of the devil. That is the false prophet. We're not following it. We're not falling for it. We're not believing it. You can curse us however you want to curse us and say that we better follow you or we're going to die and go to hell. But you were wrong and we're not following you. Because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about my God. My God is a high God. He's the most high God. And he sets a most high standard for everything that there is. God requires, you listen to me, God requires 100% faithful, total obedience to every law that he said in order to inherit eternal life. And you can't do it. That's why he sent the one who did. Because God has a high standard. And God has a high standard for his word, this Bible. This is why, this is one of the reasons why I am not allowed to, I'm not taught to, and I never will again believe that there's one mistake in my Bible. Not translational, not numerical, not grammatical, there is not prophetic, there is not one error in my Bible. Because if there is one, I don't have to listen to it. God said so. Ariel, I don't have to listen to this Bible. If I have it in my mind that there's something wrong in this Bible, God said I don't have to live by it. I don't have to abide by it. I cannot get away with believing that there's mistakes in my Bible. Because this is the sure word of prophecy. Okay? Amen. So number one, Benny Hinn's been wrong.
Yes.
The Mormon prophets have been wrong. Brigham Young's been wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Brady will tell you that the Jehovah's Witness, they're full of wrongness. In fact, they've gotten it wrong more than they've ever got it right. Okay. And even Stan the Man Johnson, putting all these prophets out there on the road, they were wrong. And yet, when Y2K didn't happen, he comes out and he says, well, God does allow prophets to be wrong. And he tells me, Mike, not everything that God does is in the Bible. See how slick that is? See how slick that is? He's setting me up to believe that what he comes up with is from God, even though it's not in the Bible. It's a setup. It's a setup, people. It's not real. Rule number one, if they were wrong one time, they're not the prophet of God. Period. Now, you can ask the question, well, Pastor Mike, how many times have you been wrong? Ask my wife. I've threatened her to say, he's never been wrong. No, I haven't. I've been wrong numerous times. I've had to change my ideas about Scripture, what I've said. I speak and in front of a camera 7 times in a week. I can tell you there's been times when I've been teaching or preaching and something come out and I've had to kind of double back in a way that kind of saves face a little bit because I knew it wasn't right. I'm not infallible. I'm not a prophet. But this is. Listen, people, something's got to be right somewhere. Something somewhere has to be 100% right. Or else, what have we got to live by? We've spent all of our life putting our trust in politicians and preachers and everything else in the world, and they've all turned out bad, every one of them. Somewhere, something has got to be right. And my faith has found a resting place, and it's in this Bible. So this Bible, number one, God abides by his own standards, by the way. If God says, if you're the prophet, you have to be right 100% of the time, then God must be right 100% of the time because Jesus is the prophet. And he is speaking to us through the pages of this Bible. And if this Bible has, if it has a missing word in it, or it wasn't translated correctly, or some of the numbers between Kings and Chronicles got mixed up and there's textual variance, if all that's true, then God is a liar. See, it's a high standard, and I didn't set the standard, God did. Test number two, direction. Even if it comes to pass, even if it comes to pass, because the devil can do signs and wonders, can he not? False prophet, Revelation 13, what's he going to do? He's going to do signs and wonders. He's going to perform, Jim, great things for people. They're going to be dazzled with the eye candy. And I can tell you that there are whole denominations and strains of Christianity, quote unquote, that are nothing but about signs and wonders. It's got to be a new show every Sunday. You cannot go into these churches and them have a laid-back service. If you watch some of these guys like Rod Parsley, who used to be a Baptist. In fact, he used to be a Free Will Baptist. But he got the Holy Ghost. And if you, I watched him for a little while, and I noticed how they did some things. They would cut out. Whenever Rod Parsley, I don't know if you know this or not, every now and then Rod Parsley would just go absolutely out of his mind nuts on stage. And when that happens, they cut the camera off him and go to the crowd who's going, woo, woo, because they don't want that out on TV. And see, it's got to be a bigger show next Sunday than it was last Sunday, or you won't come. Spider-Man 3 has to be better than Spider-Man 2. You see how it works? Okay? It has to be better than the previous one. And they're setting people up with signs and wonders. So here's what God said about that. Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a what? A dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Now, let me stop right here. I'm going to deal with dreams along the way. Now, I know what the Bible says, and we're going to read Joel chapter 2 here in a little bit. I know what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. I know that, number one, the Holy Ghost of God deals with me in my conscious mind. How many of you know that? How many of you know the Holy Ghost? Bradley, when you're working on a sermon, how are you getting that sermon? The Holy Ghost is leading you and directing you in your thoughts, in your conscious thoughts, and they are directing you to the pages of the Scripture. Or you will be in a, or you've been preaching before, and you preaching, and it wasn't even in your notes, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is saying, now say this. That is hearing from God. That does happen. The Holy Ghost will always lead you to the Son. John chapter 16. The Holy Ghost will always speak of the Son of God, Jesus, the Bible. Always. The Holy Ghost will never give you something that is not of the Son. Write that down. Never. He will never give you something that is outside, that you cannot find as a double witness in the pages of your Bible. Never. And I have a pastor friend, Brother Mike Hutzel. We've had him preach here before, probably have him back. He told me he was in full-time evangelism and was trying, the church called him to come try out, the church he's at right now, Grace in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he said, Mike, I wasn't looking to go pastor. And he said, I was going to turn him down, but I felt sorry for him. And he preached for him a few times, and he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to pray about it, and he said, I'm going to ask God to direct me on this because I'm taking it seriously. And he went home, and he got on his face before God, and he said, God, if you want me to go to this church, you show it to me in the Bible. Now, some people have the idea that the Bible really is not that extensive. But I'm here to tell you that your life is in this book. Every day that you have lived is in this book. Do you believe that? It is the book of life is what it is. And so he began to pray, God, I mean it. If you want me to go to that church, then you show it to me in the Bible. And I don't remember all the details, but he said he would wake up in the middle of the night thinking of that church. And he'd get down and he'd begin to pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. He said that happened to him over and over again. And finally, I think it was in Philippians. He just opened his Bible up one day and read in Philippians where Paul was talking about how they was in my heart day and night. I was praying for him all the time. And the Holy Ghost said, that's it right there. And he's been pastoring now for I don't know how many years. He's got a great church out there and good things going. And God was in it. But I'm telling you, God will speak to your conscience and direct you to this book. And I believe, because it says scripturally, I believe that God can speak to you in your sleeping hours. Okay? But it also will always be directed into the scriptures. So that you will always have a double witness of what God said. So he says up here, he's talking about a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Now I'm going to tell you how that works, and there's a more prophetic way. We're going to see it as the time goes on, that the other gods are going to manifest themselves here on the earth. That's the fallen angels, okay, and the beast himself, okay? But here's how it's manifested now. Okay? The other gods which thou hast not known, which basically is what I was told. That is, Mike, not everything that God does is in the Bible. Let me tell you, I'm hearing from God. And I know a lot of people hearing from God right now. God is doing new things on the earth that he's never done before. God is doing new things that are not in the Bible. God is pouring out a new atonement or a new blessing or a new way or this and that and the other. And they're always talking about a new thing like the Athenians were looking for. And here my Bible and my God is saying, seek out the old paths, not the new one. Okay? Other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So number one, infallibility. Number two, the direction that they're pointing you in. If they're not pointing you to Jesus Christ of this Bible, and there is another Jesus, is there not? And he is identified, the real Jesus identified by what's in this book. The false prophets are going to do signs and wonders. They're going to direct you to another Jesus that is not the Jesus of this Bible. And so it says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. And notice who sent him. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God said, I sent him. I sent him. God called Joyce Myers. God called Creflo. God called Joel. God called Benny Hinn. God called these guys. Why? To prove who was going to believe this Bible and who wasn't. That's why he called them. So that's how you know. 2 Kings chapter 9. The Bible says, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And I can tell you that Jezebel We all know who that is, don't we? We've all lived next door to Jezebel, haven't we? Or we've sat next to her in church. Okay? Jezebel hates this. And I don't care whose church you're going to. I don't care if it's independent, fundamental, this and that and the other. I don't care if it's full of signs and wonders. I don't care what church you're in. If that church draws you away from this Bible, that's Jezebel. That's her spirit. She's there. She hates this book. And she'll have them killed. She'll have the prophets killed. And the prophets are this book. He says, notice that he said his servants, the prophets. This is interesting. 2 Kings 17:13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers. The word seer, it means a prophet, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notice 2 Kings 24, and the Lord sent him against Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees and bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. So they speak, the real prophets speak the word of the Lord, not their own. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was what? Published throughout all the region. So God sends his servants, the prophets, and they speak by the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is what? Published. It's in a book, and it's made public. And so one of my beefs with Dudeman was that he said, I got some other visions, but God said, I can't tell you what they were. It's not from God. Because the word of the Lord always gets published. Public. Do not heed anyone who says, now for all you people sitting here, I'm going to give you something. Now, we have a meeting next Friday for a select few of you, and I'm going to give you something private from the Lord. Get out. You run away from that, because that is mystery Babylon the Great. You know what it says, Guy and Roy? It says, I'm going to give something for all the Americans, but the Canadians, I can't tell them anything. I can't tell them what I'm giving to you guys. Why? You're Canadian. Okay? That's what that is. God's word, notice it's to the Gentiles. God's word goes to everybody. Amen. Published, made public, not just a select few. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord will do how many things? Nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Even the things of the last days that pertaineth to the last days have already been recorded and written down for us, so that you can know that you have an accurate and complete record of everything that God said. How many of you like that? Say amen. Amen. Okay? And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I'm flattered that you're here. I love you. Thank God that you're here. But you have just as much right to stay at home and read this Bible and get something out of it as I do. You don't need, listen, I hope to spend a lifetime teaching you, you don't need me. You don't need me. If you've got this Bible and you believe what it says, you've got everything you need. All I'm going to do is awaken you to it and show you that if it says this, just believe what it says. I'm going to give you simple stuff that's in the Bible. Okay? Romans chapter 16. Notice that here's that word mystery again. that to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, and the mystery was given to his servants the prophets, but now is made manifest, how? By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now let me kind of explain to you how this works and how this is. What does the word scripture mean? You know what the word script means? It means somebody wrote it down. The word scratch is related to the word script. Because you scratch and you make a mark of something. Okay? You ever seen a doctor's handwriting? It's a scratching. But he wrote a prescription. You cannot go, Roy, over to Walmart Pharmacy over here, walk up there and say, yeah, my doctor told me to come over here and get a bottle this big of 400 Valium. My doctor said, hey, my doctor's here in town. He said I could have a bottle this big of 400 Valium. They're going to say, where's your script? Well, I don't believe in that. My doctor told me that I could have a bottle of Valium. And they'll say, sorry, we don't trust you. You bring us a piece of paper with ink on it, with your doctor's handwriting on it, and his signature, and his ID number. You bring that over here. We will. And if your doctor says that you can have a bottle this big with 400 Valium in it, if that's what your doctor said, we'll give it to you. So you got to have it in what? Isn't it funny, Sterling, that we trade daily based upon paperwork? That when we buy cars, good grief, you can't even buy a donut, but they want to give you a receipt. Yeah. Would you like your receipt? Got a donut? Would you like a receipt? You know, I can't imagine us, you and I, being in court over this donut. So I think it's safe for you to hang on to that piece of paper. Okay? You don't buy land. You don't buy a car. You don't buy an expensive piece of merchandise. You don't buy a ring for your wife. But what you got, a written record of the transaction. A note saying that you paid the price in full and that you have the merchandise. Now it's printed in record and it's in writing. We don't do business, even amongst people that we know, without, hey, can I get a receipt for that? Why is it that the churches now have accepted words that are unscripted that came from God? Think about it. We don't accept that in any other realm of life. Okay? Where is it? Pre-med? They're teaching you to write everything down, aren't they? Write it down. Doctor goes to see the patient. He examines the patient. What does he do after that? He charts it. He charts everything that he said and did and so on, so that there is a record. Because somebody's going to come after you one of these days. And they're going to say, well, he told me this. And you can say, you know what, here's the records right here. I documented everything that was said in that room, and here it is right here, and I never said that. See how it works? Why are we being told to accept this? Undocumented words from God. They don't go with me. The revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God wants everybody to have the faith. Jeremiah chapter 25 verse 4, the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. Notice that Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 26 says, nevertheless they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Now look at Luke 11, verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God. Luke is going to be quoting scripture here, and he said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall they slay and persecute. And what was being done here was a conglomeration of several verses together. And I noticed that it said the servants, the prophets, they slew the prophets. And now it says prophets and what? Apostles. You know what the meaning of the word apostle means? It's a servant. How did Paul always identify himself? Paul, an apostle, and a servant. Paul and a servant. He said, you know what we are as apostles? We're servants. That's what we are. And so here we have, right here in Luke 11:49, I will send them, watch this now, watch this. I will send them prophets and apostles. Old Testament, New Testament. Notice that it's two. It's a double witness, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. God knew that this written Bible and those who bore it and those who preached it and those who tried to carry it around the earth, that they would be hated and people would be killed. What did they do with Wycliffe? Even after that, after his death, the Roman Catholic Church had a trial on him, found him guilty of heresy. Why? Because he said people ought to have the Bible. Because you priests, he said, I'm one of them. You're lying to them and you know it. You know you're lying to them. You're telling them that they have to pay money to get out of heaven. And the Bible says that they come and get salvation without money. If my people, and he was in England, he said, if my people could read the Bible for themselves, they would know the truth and they would be free. And for that he was accused of heresy and blasphemy against the Roman church. And they dug his carcass up, burnt his bones to show everybody, don't mess with Jezebel. We hate the Bible. And she still hates it to this day. And I want to tell you something. She hates this Bible. I think Jezebel's pretty cool with the message. I think she kind of digs that one. I think she kind of had a hand in writing that one. She hates this Bible. You know why? Because it's a man. Jezebel's got man issues, you can tell. Amen? Serious, serious man issues. So does Joyce, by the way. If you just listen to her long enough, you'll figure that out. Okay? Prophets, Old Testament. Apostles, New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. You'll hear these ministries saying, we operate in the fivefold ministries according to the Scripture. In other words, we're more scriptural than everybody else in the whole world is because, number one, we have apostles over our church, and number two, we have prophets. And they say, you Baptists, you don't believe that. Yeah, we do. We just believe it the right way. God did set forth apostles. Their names were John, Peter, Paul. Amen? God did send them out as apostles. And they established the authority of the doctrines of the church over the early original church. God used them in the days when the Bible was still being scripted, written out. And God used them and used their authority over. Paul had authority. Paul had authority over the churches. What Paul said went. Why? Because Paul went and sat with Jesus for 14 years and heard from Jesus himself the doctrines that Paul wrote in his 14 letters. I always thought that was interesting, that he spent 14 years learning from Jesus and he wrote 14 letters, okay, including Hebrews. I believe that was his. Paul heard from God directly. That was the office of apostle, and they established doctrine. Now you have people running around all over the place saying, I'm an apostle. I'm apostle so-and-so. Somebody wrote me an email from Africa, a pastor, and they've just been indoctrinated with this, and they called me Apostle Reverend Hoggard. I'm not even flattered at that. I don't accept that. I am not an apostle. And nobody right now is. Nobody. There are apostles falsely called. But apostles write doctrine. And they establish absolute authority over a church. And those men have already came. Those prophets have already came. And they have prophesied. Now I'm going to show you something about prophets that I think you're going to like from the scriptures. Okay? But what I'm talking about is that those men or women who speak a word from God that is either not in this book or in direct contradiction to this book. They did not get that from God. Did not come. So we go back to God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Bible, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So in Revelation 22, this is what his Son said. If God speaks to us by his Son, here's what his Son said. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall do what? Add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. This woman is in, she's in bad shape. She's in danger. She is adding to this book. She is saying that what is on this paper is as authoritative as what's on this paper. And isn't it interesting that that's Revelation chapter 22, the last three, four verses of the whole Bible. Jesus himself said, after these words, it's over with. We don't add after these words. Brother Jim, it would be like if you had a contract with somebody, and you signed the agreement and they signed the agreement, and then they come back, they found out a year later that they had slipped in a document after you both signed the contract that they were gonna try to hold you to. Would you accept that? You were born at night, but you weren't born last night. Amen? What they're telling you is that we know that you signed a contract, and we signed a contract too, but we decided a year later that we want to have power over you, and we want something from you, and so we put an addendum on the end of that. Did you know it will not hold up in court? And it will not hold up in God's courtroom either. When Jesus said that the book is done, he meant it was done. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, even, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Notice that he said, he which testifieth these things. Jesus himself was putting his signature on this contract right here, right at the end, saying, I said these words. You don't add to these words. See how simple this is? Moses said unto him, "Even this thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." You know what? I like that. And you know what? I just believe that. I think God did exactly what Moses asked and what Moses wanted. I think that you and I, you know what the meaning of the word prophet? We always say prophet's like, you know, he tells the future. The prophet proclaims the words of the Lord. That's what a prophet is. And so, Jim, anytime you quote scripture for somebody, you are the prophet of the Lord, and he has put his spirit in you. Maggie likes to talk. Have you noticed that? Now, Maggie's my friend, okay? We've fellowshiped together. We've met in, Bristol? Okay, out there. She's been here last year. She's like my stalker. She showed up down in Branson. And I just love her to death. Maggie's like old Gary back there. Maggie never met a stranger. Maggie don't mind talking to people. And Maggie can quote scripture. Did you know that there is not a prohibition in the whole Bible against Maggie saying, let me tell you what the Bible says? Not one. Except for she's not allowed to stand here and teach you guys. Okay? She don't want to. She got a good heart. But I know her. She doesn't mind going around saying, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Did you know that she's prophesying? Amen. It is. And I'm going to show you this. Look at this. So Joel chapter 2 said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Notice he put his spirit on them, and your sons and your who? Your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. You see, we're not talking about the office of a bishop. We're not talking about one who is in authority over the church. We're talking about you and you and you and Ariel, you and all you ladies here. You have just as much right to take this Bible and read it and share it with others as us men do. God said so. God said so. Would to God that all His people were prophets and that He would put His Spirit upon them. And God has, so long as you quote Scripture. Okay? And did you know that when you're dealing with somebody that's, especially in this country, you're dealing with somebody that's lost, did you know that you could have a lot easier time with them? If you go to them and say, God's showing me something right now about you. Did you know they're going to, while you got your eyes closed, they left? But I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with you as ladies, you as men, or even you as teenagers, praying for somebody that you know is lost and saying, God, would you just give me the words to show them? Give me the words to say to them. And you go to them, and God's given you Scripture to say, can I share something that's on my heart with you? I'm going to give you some Scripture, and you just, if it means something to you, and you give them a passage of Scripture, and I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will burn their heart inside out. Because they're just in their mind, they're going, how did you know that? And you can be a prophet of the Lord quoting Scripture. Okay? I believe that's scriptural. Okay? Dreams and visions. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. I want you to notice that he was referring to the scene that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was a real scene. It really happened. And they saw it. They saw into the spiritual realm. They saw Moses and Elijah, and they saw into the spiritual realm. God is identifying for you what a vision is. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 22. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a what? In the vision. Who is he talking about? Zacharias. What did he see? He saw the angel Gabriel in the temple. He saw an angel. He saw into the spiritual realm, and that was his vision. Okay? The Bible's telling you what a vision is. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. He saw into the spiritual realm the vision. And it was a real scene. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. The Bible's telling you what a vision is. It is a real scene that really happens. But you hear from some of these people that, oh, God gave me a vision, and boy, it was kind of weird. We were like in a boat, and this boat had like several colors on it. And I think that means this. And they're describing some weird thing that never happened. That's not from God. That's not from God. You say, well, what about Nebuchadnezzar's dream? It was real. That image is real. John's whole thing in the book of Revelation, he saw exactly everything that really was. That was his vision. You know what he did with that vision? He wrote it all down. Recorded it for us. Okay? Acts 26, 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What is Paul referring to here? Who did he see? Jesus. Did he really see Jesus, or did he think that he saw something that I think that represented Jesus? He saw Jesus. No further mentioning of churches or disciples regarding visions until the book of Revelation. As of this point, you don't see in Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Hebrews, Philippians, Timothy, Thessalonians, Jude, John. You don't see anything in those letters concerning operating in visions until you get to the book of Revelation. And John saw that vision, and he faithfully recorded everything down, and then Jesus said, we're done. Okay? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. How? In a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Joseph had a dream, okay? And it was based upon Scripture, because the dream that Joseph had everything to do to going down to Egypt. And what did God say? But when he heard, remember, God said, my son have I called out of Egypt. The dream that Joseph had was in an effort to fulfill Scripture. Not add to Scripture, Not draw away from Scripture, but to fulfill Scripture. Notice this, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. You see, it was all in an effort to fulfill the Scripture, the words of the prophets. That's what that dream was all about. For the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. Now again, can God speak to you in your conscious mind and your sober thoughts? And I agree that he can, but he will always draw you to the Scripture. And so people have asked me, I think I've had dreams. I think I've had two. I've written some of them down. I don't share them. They're for me. One in particular that I really think came from God. And I can see it in the Scripture. I was visiting with Brother Jeremy Howe one time. And he was in my office. He was telling me a dream that he had. And did you know that while he was telling me that dream, God had me that day reading a portion out of the book of Psalms. And when he told me that dream, he basically said everything that I had read in that portion of the book of Psalms. And I read that to him. And he said, Mike, that was from God, and I agree with him. Amen. Why? The Scriptures were the witness. The Scriptures were the witness. Now, I mentioned here several Sundays ago when we came back from camp, a young lady that said that she hears from dead people. Okay? And there have been people that have written to our ministry that have said, Pastor Mike, I don't know, but I have mainly women, who said, Pastor Mike, I dream and things happen. Things that I dream happen. Okay? And I've had these dreams, and boy, they're all coming to pass and they're all happening. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't trust that. Don't trust that. And I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing wrong with you praying against it and saying, Lord, if this is not of you, get it out of my life. Because there are some people running around right now that believe that God has given them a dream ministry. And they dream up this and they dream up that and they dream and dream and dream and dream. And none of those dreams are scripturally based, and they're wrong. They're absolutely dead wrong. And so, can you dream from the Lord? You can know that if you find it in here. But here's the thing, and I've made this statement several times before. The older I get, the less I trust me. Gee, the older I get, the more I realize how reprobate my mind and my heart really is. Okay? I don't wake up every day going, boy, I'm a lot better than I was yesterday. My wife doesn't think that either about me. Okay? I'm just telling you that even if I had a dream, I'm not sure that I would trust it enough to preach it. Because I know what goes on in this head of mine. Sometimes it's just goofiness, silliness. Sometimes it's just vile. And I'm telling you, there's only one thing in this world that I trust, and that is this book right here. And I'm telling you, people, you can absolutely trust this book. When you can't trust the person sitting next to you, you cannot trust the person standing in front of you, and you cannot even trust yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean how? Not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen? Now, believe it or not, I'm not even near done with this. Okay? Not even near done with this. But what I'm going to do, I know you, some of you, huh? Yeah, you're not the one standing up here. Okay? Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to break off from this tonight, okay? And tomorrow morning we're going to come back and we're going to revisit this thing, and then we're going to move forward with some other things, okay? I got you for the weekend. I got a lot of things to say. And what doesn't get to come out here, I guarantee you, will come out in the next Watchman video broadcast, okay? Once God gives it to me, I can't hardly wait to get it out there, okay? And I don't have anything in my notes that, well, I can't share it with you people. Okay? If it's in the Bible, I'm going to tell what God said. And basically, the direction that I'm going to go in the morning at 9 o'clock is this. When you study the word prophets, especially in the Old Testament, you will find out that in an overwhelming majority of the times, God is against people who called themselves prophets. That'll give you something. That stunned me. When I started looking at this, that stunned me. I'm going, holy cow. I don't really believe in holy cows, but that just stunned me. And as I'm searching this out in the Scripture, I'm just going, that's unbelievable. So that's the direction we're going to go in the morning. And then I can't remember what's on the schedule after that, but we'll get into that tomorrow. Breakfast is at 8 o'clock. Be here a little bit early so you can be first in line. Okay? And then all of you folks watching, we will start broadcasting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We're going to take some breaks and so on. But we're just going to enjoy the day that God has given us tomorrow. Are you glad you came tonight? Say amen. Aren't you glad that you can go home tonight and trust this book? Amen. Listen, God's smart. He knows that men lie. And even men that don't want to lie, if I tell something to Sterling and have him tell it to Lisa, who tells it to Jimmy, who tells it to Roy, I guarantee you, by the time it gets to Roy, it's not going to be even close to what I said. And by the time this Roy tells that Roy, there's no telling what's going to come out of their mouth. It's written down. Let's tell God thank you tonight. Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for this Bible. I thank you, Lord, for rescuing me, Lord, out of the sea of iniquity and depravity and foolishness, God, and disbelief. You pulled me up just like Peter out of the sea. And God, I thank you for that. You're a very good God to me. And Lord, I thank you for these people that come in. Lord God, I know they're tired. And I just pray, God, the Lord, you'd give them rest tonight. Lord, bless them for even wanting to show up here. Those that are tuning in tonight, Lord, bless them for staying up late and watching this. Lord, they could have been watching the Olympics. Lord, they're watching us tonight, and I thank you for it. God, give us a good night rest, and Lord, help us just go to bed, Lord, with thoughts in our mind. Lord, if you want to deal with us and speak with us, Lord God, while we're awake or while we're asleep, Lord, that's fine. But God, Lord, we know, God, we're going to test it now. Anything that we think that we've heard, God, we're going to test it up against this Bible. And God, I know you don't have a problem with that. So Lord, we're going to test it. We're going to find out whether it's true because we just believe this book. Bless this book tonight in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.